It's Thursday, 12th of April. Welcome to episode 115 of Digital Outbox. Hi, thanks for listening again. My name's Ian. Joining me tonight is Chris. Hi, Chris.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Guess what?
Guess what?
I've got ice cream sandwich on my phone.
How?
I don't know. It just happened. I left it on overnight and the next morning I found it said, I want to update you. And I went, okay, do it.
And has it been worth the wait?
No.
Is it like iPlayer on the Xbox 360 that once you've got it, you've never used it once?
Yeah, pretty much. It's basically for green things have turned blue, and that's about it. To be fair, there's some good little changes in there. But you know what? For all that fuss, you know, whatever. So I just felt like I was missing out, but I wasn't really. They have updated a few apps and given some more features and things that work snappily. And now I can have Chrome on my browser, which is good.
I can't wait for Google I.O. just to find out what the next update is
going
to bring.
When Jelly Bean's coming out.
Exactly.
But still, it's done. So I thought I'd put that out there that I have now got ice cream sandwich. And yes, it's good.
It's good because it's now blue.
It's blue. It does look better. But say, that's about nothing for me.
Anything else you'd like to add just before we
no,
crack on?
That's it.
That's the most just animated and excited I've seen you in months.
Well, certainly since we started podcasting.
How is that? Have you used iPlayer yet in the 360? No.
Only to do that test. Too busy.
Speaking of busy, Facebook have been busy spending loads of money. So they have spent $1 billion on Instagram.
Oh, dear. I don't know what to do about these big numbers anymore. Laugh at them. It's a bit sick, really. Instagram, the photo taking, adapting and sharing, basically that's all it does. Takes your camera, your phone photos, basically makes them look hipster. And then you can share them out wherever you want. And that's worth $1 billion, apparently. Wow.
They did have a large user base. So they had upwards of 20 million users, and a lot of these were active users. They weren't just me.
Large and growing, which is an important thing as well.
Yeah, Android, they gained 1 million. One of the things I was reading today, actually, they've got an engineering blog, which I didn't know about, is Instagram. So instagram-engineering.tumblr.com, and it went through in gory detail that how they managed to keep it up and running with 1 million new users in 12 hours. And it talked about all the software and how they all applied it. But anyway, get back to Facebook, Ian. $1 billion. I can only imagine that somebody else, there's lots of rumors flying around that somebody else was trying to buy them as well.
There are certainly rumors that Google wanted to buy them and had put offers in. And you would have thought it would take two people fighting against each other for Facebook then to come up with a price which they knew that no one was going to compete with. I mean, it just shows how much cash they've got. This Facebook has now monetized, I think it's fair to say, to have that much cash swilling around.
Well, is this, I mean, some people have been calling it another tech bubble, but is it an app bubble? Is this the crazy kind of, I mean, we saw it, I guess, we draw something getting, you know, ridiculous amounts of money for almost just basically one game. They weren't an overnight success, where obviously they've been running for 5 years, but there's one game blew everything away and they get bought for $200 million.
Especially given the fact that pretty much everything that Facebook buys seems to die at the moment.
They haven't got
a good track record, have they?
I wrote down Gowalla, Beluga and Friendfeed.
Where are they now?
And with Gowalla, they said straight away as soon as they buy them, by the way, we're going to kill the service. You know, we're basically buying talent. Beluga, they did much the same and they said we're buying it for the messaging talent. And Friendfeed, yes, I think it might still exist, but nobody goes there. And they have said, you know, it's a very public statement, you know, by the Zuck.
Is that how he's known to his mates?
Yeah. Well, do you not call him the Zuck?
No.
Rhymes with. And he made a very public statement that said, Instagram won't change. They'll still be able to share with a lot of other networks.
people have commented that sharing on Facebook is poor, particularly poor. So this is a quick fix way of doing that. But they are saying they're going to keep it separate. It's not going to be something they're going to roll in. They are going to keep it separate and try and tie, you know, put stronger integrations. But they're not trying to stop it sharing out to any other network, though, from the statements.
But I guess one of the big things that Facebook did was starting to become was a go-to place for sharing photos. So I kind of ridiculed a lot of their early stuff because it was tiny, tiny images and they all looked pretty poor. But we've seen lots of updates where they're going, you know, bigger and better. And the quality looks great now. You know, you'll get full-size images.
It makes a big difference.
It makes a massive difference. And also Facebook's mobile app, I still think's rubbish, if I'm being honest.
I've tried to be using it today, actually, just as part of my work, and it is a bit frustrating. I agree.
In comparison to others, I mean, Instagram's app is really good. And a bit like last week, I loved the reaction from a lot of users on Twitter, just overreacting to it, like, oh my God, I need to. And I mean, there's a few Instagram backup services. Seemingly they were getting hammered in the first 3-4 hours as people decided I need to back up my photos and also quit Instagram.
Well, I know it can bug and irk for people to overreact and stuff, but Facebook haven't got a very good track record on how they treat people's data. And there's a lot of data there which they're trusted to one company that now is uncertain as to who owns it. Well, Facebook own it. They've just paid $1 billion for it. So I don't blame people for wanting to pull out. I mean, you know, they just do it. If you want to do it, do it. Don't make too much of a fuss about it.
I guess it's interesting that the Instagram, I guess their public persona was one of a trusted company, because people were quite gladly, I'll gladly share you with my geotagged photos, and I know I'm not paying
it's
for it.
It's cool, man. Yep. It's really cool, and you can put shaded stuff on it. Makes it look cool.
What the hell was that accent?
I don't know. Posh London, maybe?
Giles. But yeah, Facebook's obviously not trusted at all. Much like Google and Apple.
So, and in fact, with good grounding as well, not to trust them. So there we go.
Another £1 billion spent. AOL has sold 800 patents to Microsoft for $1.1 billion.
Wowzers. Firstly, that AOL had 800 patents. Well, secondly, that they're worth $1 billion.
And thirdly, their share price doubled.
So how
bad are they that their share price doubles because they've sold something that was obviously quite valuable?
Yeah, so now they're worth a lot less in effect, but they've got a lot of cash swilling around. Are AOL still around? I mean, how relevant are they? Yeah, it seems like you have to have patents nowadays to survive. They're not they're tools of war, not of protecting your ideas. So Microsoft deciding they need even more and deciding that they can spend £1 billion getting them.
And bizarrely, similarly, some of the old patents are from Netscape days. So that old Netscape IE war, I think Microsoft now owns bits of Netscape. Which just seems
they won.
Exactly.
In your face.
The AOL are keeping 300 patents because they have just sued Facebook. So they still need some patents to carry that one out. But yeah, a rather bizarre $2.1 billion spend in the last week.
Yeah, what could you do with that money that isn't just buying patents? You could do a lot of good.
Yes.
Peace, man, peace.
From good to bad. So Jack Tramiel, who knows?
Tramiel. Who knows?
Who knows? And as I said earlier, he's dead, so it doesn't really matter. Jack Tramiel. Tramiel. He was the founder of Commodore. And I guess for most people our age, not giving anything away, but Commodore 64 is probably
Now you're talking to a BBC Micro man, BBC B. We skipped the whole Commodore thing.
We're
all into the Acorn, man.
No. I mean, so 1981 VIC-20 came out, and then a couple of years later, it was only a year later, Commodore 64 came out. And I guess in Britain it was Commodore 64 or Spectrum were the two main choices, or you could fall back and have an Amstrad like me.
Or the BBC.
I can't compute that one.
But Commodore VIC 64 absolutely hit sweet spot. It was just the right device at the right price as well, wasn't it? It was just awesome. And it played games, but it did all the other things that hadn't really been done before. So it had your in-house office sort of stuff. I guess, you know, in the UK, that was probably, it was just the big computer to have.
Yeah, I mean, it was
to go around to a mate's house and play,
exactly,
play all the games.
It was a better platform compared to like the Amstrad and the Spectrum.
And the BBC.
Because it had full... You keep on mentioning this BBC, and I'm not going to...
It's because it's part of my youth.
Yeah. The...
Boop.
That's right.
I'll tell you what, that used to have a boot up time of 0 seconds. Beat that, modern day computers.
I think the other thing that I remember was all these kind of demo tapes with people doing like graphic demos, but also the sound. So I think the sound chip in the 64 was one of the best ones out on any platform. It was just superb.
It was noticeably better than anything else.
Yeah. More bad news for Apple. And I think I said to you before the podcast started, I'm really disliking Apple at the moment. I'm in a real kind of
shock.
I know.
Dun, dun, dun.
And it's not the hardware's great and the software's great. It's the community. Community sucks.
See, now it's become less exclusive. Now you've brought in all us, you know, dregs and
I think it was you. I think it was you bemoaning the virus last week, and I was like, oh, I don't want people like you moaning about viruses.
Shut up.
I've spent thousands of pounds to escape viruses. Why am I talking about them again? And we're going to talk about it again tonight. So that this Mac Trojan, I think last week there was still a few people were in denial. It's not as big as people are saying, and it's a Mac. But it has been verified. It is out there. I think they're saying it's already climbing. It's up at 650,000 now.
It says something that they've got such little to concentrate on the viruses that they can actually personally talk to ISPs about how do we disrupt this one.
Yeah.
It shows how much little they got. But it does highlight, because they control their own Java rollouts and stuff, it's taken them 6 weeks eight weeks longer than, Java themselves to patch the hole, which was known about. So that's 8 weeks worth of infections which could have been avoided, I guess, if they were quicker off the ball with it.
Certainly, I do wonder if they were they slower just because it was assumed it wouldn't be an issue. Is it back to that? If by acknowledging there's a problem, you know, you almost say, well, okay, we've got viruses. Think back to the old Mac versus PC adverts. It was always we don't have viruses. Yeah.
I think that's why everyone takes such delight in the fact that they've got one now. But anyway, so they are dealing with it. They are and actively working at all levels to defeat this thing. So I'm sure they will.
And something we didn't touch on is what this actually does. So at the moment, it's a click fraud scam. So it's hijacking search engine results in the browser. But as with all these things, it has the potential to do much more.
Yeah, it's controlled centrally by a control program, effectively, which is what they're trying to stop accessing people's computers. But that could then distribute out other, you know, worse malware or do other things. So it's been around for a while. It used to parade as a Flash installer, basically. But I think let's say it's moved on a bit since then.
Yes. Books. This is
boring books, aren't they? Nothing ever happens in the world of books.
No, we've probably spent the last like 2-3 years talking about books, and Kindle was a big platform, and then Apple tried to bring out iBooks, and it's not, I don't know about you, it's not really worked for me.
It did for a little bit.
Yeah, but
I did read for a bit, and now I'm right back to not reading again.
No, I read more in Kindle software. So I'll fire up the Kindle software, but I just... Anyway... Department of Justice, so the American government are suing Apple and book publishers over price fixing.
Quite right too, because they were price fixing, full stop.
Exactly. So there's been a year-long investigation into Apple and the publishers.
Why did it take a year? I don't understand.
Exactly.
Apple said, you can't sell anything cheaper than this if you want to sell on our store.
Well, the best...
So everyone went, okay, we'll sell at that price then.
Yep. And also it meant the Kindle prices had to go up. So they've spent a year figuring out that Apple and the publishers have colluded and forced the price up. It's taken a year. I think there's 5 or 6 publishers involved, but straight away 3 of them settled with the government.
Yeah,
and pulled out of this.
I'm out of that. Yeah.
Okay. Pulled out.
Whatever you want, I don't want to know this final figure. I'll do a figure now.
No. And
they did deal with the banker.
and interestingly, Amazon, a settlement, called the settlement a victory for consumers and users of its Kindle e-reading device, because they promised they can now renew discounting like they did before. The interesting take I was reading today is, seemingly the discounting, they were actually doing loss leading.
And that's the problem, and that's exactly what they were trying to get away from. They don't want Amazon, read Amazon as the kind of the iTunes of the music world. They don't want them making an unrealistic... Basically, Amazon can sell a book for, you know, a few pence if they think that you're going to buy something else from their store. Running your shop down the road, they can't sell them items for that much. So, you know, it's a hard one, but you've got to let the market sort itself out, I think.
No, I agree. Interestingly, Apple comment was, we have none. So they declined to comment.
Surprise, surprise.
And there's been a few rumours.
But they haven't settled, though.
No, and there's a few posts tonight saying that the government are already acknowledging that they won't win the case. So I'm even more confused about why it took a year, and everybody knows they're doing it, but they're pretty sure they won't win the case.
Probably because they haven't got as much money as Apple to spend.
Nobody has. In fact, that reminds me, there was a story that I'd have to admit this, the Daily Mail have been doing some, wash my mouth out. There was a story last week about Amazon and Google avoiding paying tax in the UK properly. And also they've got Apple doing the same.
Yes, because Amazon has a its store in Luxembourg or something like that, doesn't it? We are just, even though we've got a .co.uk and you pay through your sort of banks here, they're officially a Luxembourg company and therefore don't get subject to UK tax.
And if I remember, was it 6 billion sales, but I think they paid 10 million in tax.
I bet wherever they are based is loving it, though.
Exactly. I think Apple was the same. Apple are basically registered in Ireland, and so they're paying...
For the same kind of reasons, yeah.
I probably won't find it very quickly. So there's Google. The sales are 2 billion in the UK, but they paid 5 million of tax.
Yeah, and obviously the government are being hot on all this at the moment, saying, you know, effectively everyone believes that they are a UK store, so therefore... But there you go, that's European rules for you, though, isn't it? That's European rules for you, that is.
Is this like a tour around London we're doing tonight?
It must be.
So we've had posh London. In fact,
was my taxi cab London, that one.
You watched The Apprentice last night, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm waiting for Brick Lane London to come on soon.
I don't think you can do a voice for them.
Just have lots of leaves.
Hey, cool man, cool, yeah, that's really cool.
Do you use Google Plus?
I've got an account.
Google Plus has been refreshed.
It has. I have actually looked at it,
and according to Google, it's now more beautiful and it's more simpler.
They're kind of going down the Apple route of saying everything's beautiful at the moment.
I think that's all they have to say. It's beautiful and simpler. So the interfaces came out of nowhere. There's no rumours. Usually you get rumours about this. You know, when Facebook redesigns, it's talked about for weeks.
There probably
months.
Were rumours. We just completely ignored them, probably.
Probably people were talking about it in Google Plus, but we never got there.
It's probably advertised weeks in advance. Exactly. We just never saw it, yeah.
New interface is coming. So it's actually very different.
And, it is?
And it also looks very Facebooky.
Yeah, in many ways. It looks better than Facebook. I'll give it that.
Yeah. So basically, they've got a list of icons down the left hand side now, that allow you to pick between your circles, hangouts, games, profile, etc., streams. And you can customize this yourself. Interestingly, they mentioned applications. So they talk about these things on the left hand side as being applications. I do wonder if at Google I/O we're going to see apps coming to this platform, you know, rather than just games, and we'll be able to have our own apps within there. Photos and videos are now a lot bigger. So photos have already been, I must watch my pronunciation, photos rather than photos.
Photos.
Photos. Photos were always I don't know, very well presented, I thought, in Google Plus. You know, even the way they did slideshows and comments on it. A lot of photographers have jumped on Google Plus. It's almost like a really great social platform. And that's now been emphasised. They're now bigger, including your profile picture is actually scarily big. If you've got a bad picture, it kind of stands out pretty badly now. They've got the old panel at the top, so very similar to Facebook with the kind of, whatever it's called, the big long picture at the top of your profile page. They've got the same
cover photo, I think it's called.
Yeah, whatever it's called. Google Plus now is the same. Hangouts has its own. Again, they just promoted the use of Hangouts. And what's hot is now called Explore. I actually thought it was a lot cleaner, but there was a bit of white. It was trending yesterday. White space.
I know. But I think this thing looks great. I think this is one of the best products, web products,
yeah,
out there. That no one's going to use.
And it looks better than Facebook.
It absolutely does. And the way it works, I love the fact that you can customize the menu and how you can take things off and put it in. I think as a technology piece, it just shows what Google's capable of. And they are pushing more and more and more Google Plus across all their product range. So you never know. It could just leech itself in through the side door, if you like. Maybe not in the same way that Facebook has, but you know, it's easy to share a YouTube video, but it's hard to say.
It's been forced everywhere. I mean, wherever you go now, if you go to YouTube, you're going to get a Google Plus account. If you sign up to Google, I think, as a brand new user,
yeah, I think you just get an account. Yeah,
you're forced to. In fact, I think there was even a thing about when you sign up, they encourage you to put your credit card details in so you can start using Google Wallet.
But it's all about the users, and they haven't got them. It's all about the active users, I should say, and they haven't got them.
Yeah, there seems to be certain communities that are very active on it, but I think they've got the kind of geeky techie communities. I don't think they've got the kind of Facebook, which is everybody, including.
Yeah, that's where everyone is. You know, there is a geek party going on, but to be honest, even they're getting a bit bored of it and wanted to go back to the main the main shebang.
No, agreed.
But it does look nice, and if you haven't seen it, go and have a look, because it's worth having a look at, just as an example of what you can do with the web nowadays, as much as anything.
BBC have launched a smart app for connected TVs. So this is a sports application. It's initially only F1, because I think that's the only sport the BBC have got left, even though it's for half a season.
Not even very much of that, yeah.
But basically, they have launched this application. It will be running on TiVo, so on Virgin's TiVo platform initially. It will come to others for the rest of the year. And it gives you a true on-demand video from your red button.
It's effectively, it's kind of like iPlayer, but just for TiVo. I mean, that's effectively what they're doing, but it's different in that it's not the whole package. It's designed to watch, you know, sporting events through your broadband connection rather than over the air kind of thing. So but yeah, I imagine they'll bring it to the Sky Box, whether it comes under Anytime Plus or something. I'm not sure.
I would have thought so, because now that I've got Anytime Plus, I mean, I can certainly see how it just get plugged in there.
Yeah, you just as another channel and then have its products in there. But I'm almost surprised that it doesn't have all of its. You know, why aren't they advertising this as a kind of iPlayer through TiVo?
I don't know. That was a strange thing. I mean, so I guess sport this year is going to get very busy. You know, so there's the F1 stuff just now. There's always football, but you're going to have Euro 2012. There's the Olympics. You know, so there's some real big.
Oh, they were banding around how many hours of footage from the Olympics they're going to have across their 24 channels. It's unbelievable numbers.
It's ridiculous.
Probably more than you could watch if you watched it continuously in a year, kind of thing. It's unbelievable.
And so the whole point of this is it's taking a lot of the web content. It was almost trapped in the web and making it easily available on TiVo and other smart TVs and, I guess, some, you know, Sky.
You say it was trapped
boxes
on the web, but anything that was on the web was generally on the red button. Okay, you couldn't watch it. That's the problem. You couldn't watch it on demand, I guess.
No, it wasn't. And that's what I mean. It was that you were forced to watch it when they told you to.
Yeah,
and it's I guess it's a big step for BBC to be doing it.
No, I all for it. I just, you know, would I have preferred them to keep Formula One in its entirety or have all these things? I'm not sure.
Well,
but then it's not just all about me, is it?
how much you're paying for Sky now.
Yeah, too much.
BT are doubling Infinity speeds. This is their last story.
It's very generous of them.
Yeah, this kind of came out of nowhere this week. They basically, the story I've got written in here, in fact, it was yesterday. So it was announced yesterday that from today, they will be doubling Infinity 2 packages. So instead of 40 meg downloads, or sorry, I better do this right, instead of up to 38 meg, it was now going to be up to 76. And the upstream speeds were going up to 19 instead of up to 9.5, I guess it was before.
So just to be clear, Infinity's BT's fibre to the home service.
Yes. Yeah. And no cost hikes, allegedly.
No cost hikes, but you do have to sign up for a guaranteed another 12 months. It's a bit like when you do anything on Sky.
Yes.
You want to look at us slightly differently, another 12 months and you can do it, sir. Yes.
I think a lot of people are going down this line. Oh, you want that fantastic new product? 12 months, please.
It's and you're prepared to do it, basically.
It's probably a fair
trade-off.
Sky phoned me last year and says, do you want a terabyte box for nothing? I was like...
And you said no? Or for 12 months?
And he said, if you sign up for 12 months, we'll give you a terabyte box for nothing.
Why didn't they give me a shout? I would have done it. I almost bought one the other day.
Oh, I shouldn't. I've almost annoyed you. So yeah, this seems a bit of a no-brainer. If you're on BT and you're unhappy with the product, sign up for another
year. As long as you're not moving in the next 12 months.
Yeah, gold.
I have no idea how much that costs and whether it's actually, you get the same hikes if you went somewhere else. I guess you probably wouldn't.
I'm not sure. Also, if you're on Infinity One, it's also doubling as well. So again, good speeds, you know, 40 meg and 10 meg up are really good speeds.
Yeah, definitely.
That's the news. We'll move on to picks. Chris, your pick this week?
My pick is the beauty of silence and rest.
Okay.
There you go and enjoy some silence and rest.
That's random. I have two kind of shady picks. The first one is Pebble. So...
This is you pimping again.
I don't need to pimp this one. This has been done and is already oversubscribed or sold. So it's another Kickstarter project. So Pebble is basically an e-paper watch for the iPhone and Android. And we're looking for $100,000. It's only been up for a day, I think, or 2 days. And they've got 1.1 million.
So this Kickstarter's really sparked the imagination, hasn't it? It's amazing.
Well, it's when you watch the video of this, it's just like, this is awesome. So
go and explain it.
The Pebble is it's a smart watch which connects to either your iPhone or your Android device via Bluetooth, and you can customize it with apps. So you can download different faces for it if you're just looking for a simple, you know, tell me the time. But you can change music with it, or you can get your current running information or cycling information or some GPS information getting sent over from the apps on the iPhone or Android. And when I see it working, it's just like, that's the best ever. And it's all, you know, it's got caller ID on it. It's got email alerts and stuff. So you can just be, you know, iPhone goes bing and I can just go, oh yeah, okay, it's that. Or
you could take your phone out of your pocket and just do it on the
notifications. I don't care.
geek.
The screen, exactly. I've got no shame. The screen is an e-paper screen as well, and they reckon it's like 6 to 7 days battery life. And it also comes with an app. So you've got an app on your phone that you can, it's basically an app store for the phone, and you can update it with different apps as well.
And they're making an SDK, so anyone can make apps for the phone as well. Yeah, I mean,
absolutely.
The demo of it looked pretty funky, I guess. It sold its good points, that's for sure.
Absolutely. So it's got it's spec-wise 144 by 168 pixel display. So you're not going to do anything. You're not going to get fantastic graphics or anything. It's for IMs, you know, type messages and simple information. It's got 4 buttons. It vibrates and it's got a 3-axis accelerometer. I have mine. I have mine ordered.
Basically, $115 plus $15 distribution. So it's not a break the bank, but it's it's not your Casio. But I have a watch, so I don't need one.
Yeah, so do I, but I just saw this and was like, I'm having that. Simple. So I'll put the link in the show notes. That's Pebble on Kickstarter.
Oh, it did look good. Go take a look at it. It's good, worth a look.
And my second one brought a tear to a glass eye, according to Gordon Brown. Kane's Arcade has been doing the rounds all this week, so I'm sure you'll have seen it. It's an 11-minute video. It's fantastic. Go and watch it. And that's canesarcade.com, C-A-I-N-E-S, arcade.com.
I am very, very happy that I watched it just before the podcast. It's put me in this good mood, you can tell.
Oh, it's great. I have it. I would watch it again. That's the picks. That's our show for the week. If you'd like to find out more, our website is digitaloutbox.com. We'd love to get an email, just one. That's not trying to buy adverts on our domain, thanks very much. Because we're getting about two of these a day.
Oh, I'll be happy with an advert and email.
People want to give us money. You know, it's bizarre.
Wow.
Info@digitaloutbox.com if you'd like to email us. Or you can get to us on Twitter or Skype as Digital Outbox. My blog is indie.net. I'm on Twitter as Shreeper. And Chris is...
Cheesy UK. Hashtag go John.
Exactly. Update. Oh, and that reminds me. Updating John. He got his box, his iPad swapped last night.
Good for him.
Go John.
You go John.
And on that note, see you next week. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.